from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Young swings, misses, strike 3. 100 mile an hour fastball. A 1-2-3-6 with a couple of K's, and we go to the seventh inning. Yepes swings, grounds it to the left side. Solano in the breadbasket has got it. Throw to first in time. 7 no-hit innings for Dylan Cease. 1-1. Now the pitch. Swung on, bounced up the middle, right to Kim behind second base. Throw to first is in time. 8 no-hit innings for Dylan Cease.
And, of course, he would finish it off. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Kind of a special Thursday get-together here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan, as the Padres' Dylan Cease throws the second no-hitter in franchise history today, finishing off the Washington Nationals 3-0 this afternoon. Cease rolling through a 114-pitch performance, struck out 9, walked 3, and talked his way into the second no-hitter in Padres history. Mike Schilt made it sound good after the game, made it sound like he was kind of thinking of keeping him in, but nobody felt that. I mean, Mike Schilt basically came over and gave him a congratulatory handshake after the seventh inning and said, nice job. You know, and Dylan Cease had to talk him into staying in the game.
What is there to talk about?
I don't get that. And, you know, I don't want to go old man on my lawn thing, but I'm tired of this no-hit guys coming out in seven innings. Skeens a couple of weeks ago or last week came out after seven innings and 99 pitches. No-hit baseball, let these guys go get their no-hitters. And for those of you who think Dylan Cease's career has been ruined because he had to throw 114 pitches, keep in mind a couple of things. Number one, 113 was his previous high. Number two, this is the 12th time this year that he's thrown more than 100 pitches in a game. He'll be just fine. And the Padres are fine for now. A five-game win streak and a sweep of the Nationals. Ben Higgins tweeted this out earlier, but I was thinking it. He gets credit because he tweeted it out. The Padres' 6-0 series win over the Nationals this year has got to go down in baseball history as one of the most dramatic six-game sweeps ever. I mean, you look at the games that the Padres won in this series, the Profar walk-off bases-loaded double or single because he cut off short and ran to the Nationals' dugout. And then the following night with the Machado home run and the Profar grand slam and then the Higashioka two-home run game. And it's all finished off today in D.C. I think they're calling it what? Washington Dillon Cease.
Yes, that's what D.C. stands for.
That's what D.C. stands
also,
for.
Also, the Nats were deceased today.
Yeah,
Chris.
I thought I'd let you give that line.
Thank you.
I gave the first one. I let you have the second one.
Stupid.
Chris Ello here. That's Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. is obviously, he's on a bus right now from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore where the Padres play tomorrow. But we did catch up with Tony. We'll get some of his thoughts after he and Jesse called a no-hitter today. We'll hear that in about 15, 20 minutes. We actually have a really good show lined up. We weren't planning on, you know, a no-hit day. RJ Anderson from MLB.
CBS Sports.
I'm sorry, CBS Sports. Thank you. He's an MLB writer.
He is.
For CBS Sports.
Yes.
He is the trade deadline guy. And as all of this is going on today, we are stepping ever closer to the baseball trade deadline. It's coming up on Tuesday. This is Thursday. There's only 4 days left. Five, right?
Tuesday.
Before the trade deadline is up. So we'll get the very latest from him and what the Padres may or may not be able to do before the trade deadline. That's coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Also, a little bit later on today, we are going to catch up with the head football coach at San Diego State. You Aztec fans, stick around. Sean Lewis will join us today right around 4 o'clock. The Aztecs are just a month and a week away from their season opener. So starting to get so excited for some college football around here. Sean Lewis will be on the show a little bit later on. As Sammy Levitt said, we will replay for you, those who missed it, Sammy's postgame interview with Dillon Cease from Washington, D.C. He did call into the postgame show. We'll play that for you a little bit later on. And we'll play highlights throughout and try to put this whole thing into perspective. The Padres now have exactly 0.006 of the no-hitters in baseball history. There's been 306 thrown. The Padres now have two. At long last, Joe Musgrove has to share the mantle now with Dillon Cease. And wouldn't you know it, guess who's been residing in Joe Musgrove's guest house since April?
You know this. I didn't know this, and I'm assuming Dillon Cease, but
yeah,
this is a Joe Musgrove thing. He let Adam Frazier stay at his house when Adam Frazier was traded over here.
That didn't work out so well.
For Adam Frazier.
Yeah, this has worked out a whole lot better. Said quipped Joe Musgrove after the game. The rent is going to go up after this performance, but Joe Musgrove. In fact, Joe was there in the dugout, and according to some tweets that I saw from AJ Cassavell, Joe Musgrove walked over to Mike Shildt near the end of the seventh inning and said, you know, I think we should keep him in. His stuff looks pretty good out there. So, you know, Mike Shildt, I'm positive. I don't know how he spun it in the post game, but I'm positive that he was ready to take him out of that game at the end of the seventh inning. He had 94 pitches at that point, and maybe because of the rain delay at the beginning of the game, Shildt thought, you know, that was enough for Dillon Cease. But this guy, it's not fair to compare Dillon Cease to Nolan Ryan yet. Nolan Ryan, think of how exciting that was today. The no-hitter and everything that went into it. And the pop fly that bounced out of Bogart's glove right into Merrill's glove. And the play that Bogart's made at second base and bobbled the ball and was able to throw out Keibert Ruiz. Probably the only hitter in the Washington Nationals lineup he could have thrown out on that play. because he's a catcher and he's really slow. Anybody else would have beat that out by the time Bogaerts was able to field the ball.
True.
So, I mean, you know, so much has to go into it. Talking Mike Shildt into staying into the game, not throwing too many pitches. So he gets a no-hitter. Think of this. Nolan Ryan did this seven times.
Seven
times in his career he threw a no-hitter. So, yeah, it's a little early to compare. But the only thing the only mild comparison I would make is that Dylan Cease, when he goes out to the mound, it is at least in the back of my mind. I don't know if it's in the back of everybody out there's mind. That today is a day he could throw a no-hitter. This guy almost had one a couple of years ago, 8 2/3 at Minnesota, and or against Minnesota,
yes,
when he was with
Minnesota.
The White Sox.
Sorry, I finally got the cameras up if you want to watch, man.
Oh, good. Thank
Jeez,
you.
These cameras. I've
been
sometimes.
Looking really good today. I appreciate you finally getting that up there.
You keep looking at me like... Are you listening? And I'm like trying to listen.
Yeah, anyway. I'm over there talking to you and you're looking in another direction. But here's the thing with Dylan Cease. I feel like he almost has a chance to throw a no-hitter every time out. And here's why I say that. Go back to April 22nd at Colorado. At Colorado, even. 7 innings, 1 hit. How about May 8th at Chicago, Wrigley Field? 7 innings, 1 hit. How about June 26th at home against this Washington Nationals team? 7 innings, 1 hit. And then July 13th, Atlanta, 6 innings, 1 hit. And his last out in Cleveland, 7 innings, 1 hit. This is the sixth time already this year that this guy has pitched 6 or 7 innings or more and allowed 1 or no hits. So he's been buzzing all around it all season long. Now, not only did he have the no-hitter bid that Arise broke up.
Yeah, that's really funny.
In the White Sox, and that is kind of ironic, certainly.
Very ironic.
In fact, I honestly believe the only way the Nationals were going to get a hit today is if they could have worked a late deal to acquire Arise in the 7th or 8th inning and bring him up to bat. Because none of those National guys were going to get a hit off him today. You know, they could have batted all day long. But this is the sixth time that he's allowed 1 or no hits in a start this year. So it really shouldn't be all that shocking. And
what's more, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's more shocking to me is that there have been these outings where he's just not consistent at all, or stretches of outings, like maybe 2 starts in a row where he's not consistent. But for the most part, he has been this guy all year.
Well, no, he hasn't. And I'm not
okay.
Trying to disagree with you. But along with the 6 starts that he's allowed 1 hit or less, he's allowed 5 runs in a game in 6 innings, 5 runs in a game in 4 innings, 7 runs in a game in 3 2/3 innings, 6 runs in a game in 3 2/3 innings. He's had some starts where you look at it and you're like, how did that happen? Because you honestly feel like he's, you know, a no-hitter waiting to happen every time out. And today he finally got it. So it's awesome. It's exciting. I mentioned this to Tony, and you'll hear my visit with Tony in here in a little bit. But as I said, it's the 306th no-hitter in Major League history. So they've happened before.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're just exciting every time.
Especially for the team that you're
and especially
for.
When it's the team you're rooting for.
Let's, it's so rare.
It is. Let's pause real quick for station identification.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
This is Joe Musgrove.
Joe does it himself. 1-4-3, and that's all for the Giants.
Padres play here on San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan and Odyssey Sports Station.
Dylan Cease pitches a no-hitter today as the Padres shut out the Washington Nationals 3-0. Cease faced one batter over the minimum, along with his no-hit effort. He walked Lane Thomas twice early in the ball game. Once he was thrown out stealing, once he was erased on a double play. There was a third walk later in the game to C.J. Abrams. He was, it turned out, he was the only left on base all day. He got the second base on a ground ball, but neither Winker nor Yepes could bring him in, so they had two at-bats with a runner at second base. This was, you know, very dominating. I got to give Musgrove the nod. If you want to tell me whose no-hitter was better, there's no such thing. They're both amazing.
All, they're all their own no-hitters.
But Musgrove didn't allow a walk in his no-hitter. It was one-hit batter was the only thing that kept him from a perfect game.
Yeah.
So he faced one over the minimum as well, Musgrove did in his no-hitter. Musgrove threw 112 pitches, Cease threw 114. Musgrove, I think, struck out 10. Cease struck out 9. Very similar in that regard. But, yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, I've said this all season long, and I don't know how to quantify it other than to say, look at the results. But there's a little magic to this season.
Of course.
There has been. Profar has provided most of it. Yes. I hate to tell you. Profar's been in the middle of a lot of the magic. Higashioka's had the magic run that he had. Merrill's had the magic run that he's had. And today it was Cease's turn to be the magician and pick up the second no-hitter in club history. His stretch of three starts just before the All-Star break at home against Atlanta, and then after the All-Star break in Cleveland, and then today, in those three games, and this is ridiculous, he's pitched 22 innings. He's allowed two hits, obviously no runs. He's walked 7. He struck out 30.
Mm-hmm.
In those three games, the Braves, the Guardians, and the Nationals are a combined 2-for-65 against Dylan Cease. How does a guy ever give up a run?
It is amazing that he has given up a run, because when he's really good, you can tell he's untouchable.
Well, he is. I mean, look, the guy has a season ERA of 3.50.
Yep.
Not like it's 1.50.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they've scored off him throughout the season, but he didn't look like he could ever score off him today the way he pitched. And give Jackson Merrill a ton of credit. How many times do guys back up plays basically for no reason at all? They don't need to be there.
Thousands of times.
Yeah, they don't need to be there. These are major league players. They make good throws. They catch the ball. You don't normally have to back up, but guess what? Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson Merrill raced in from center field, and Bogaerts went out on that pop-up by Yepes. I think he turned the wrong way, which was got him into a little trouble.
He did the uh-oh.
And then he had to scramble, and that ball pops out of his glove, and it would have fallen to the turf. There's no way Bogaerts would have been able to recapture it. And Merrill's right there to grab. And, you know, then the play Bogaerts made later on in the game against Ruiz. So it was a memorable day for the Padres. Most importantly, you know, it's 5 straight wins on this road trip. And let me tell you something. When this road trip started, if I had told you, guaranteed you, that they'd go 5-4, you would have said yes. You would have said, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They can lose all 3 games in Baltimore and still go 5-4. So let's get a little greedy now.
Hey, the Orioles have struggled in Miami. They've struggled since the break.
Yeah, they did win today.
Oh, they
blew a lead.
They
blew a lead, but they won an extra inning. So the Orioles did win today. But, you know, I think this is a season that's going to wind up in the playoffs. I've had that feeling all year. It's hard to have that feeling when they're in one of their down slumps, and you know one of those is probably right around the corner again.
I'm not listening.
Yeah, I know you're not, but you've said that every time. Maybe you should listen, because every time I say it, you say, I'm not listening, and then they lose 4 in a row anyway.
I'm 6 days away from being officially able to check the standings again, so.
Well, you know, you're going to like what you see right now. Padres are right in the mix now. The Mets, the Cardinals, everybody's right there.
Was Michael King's, did it go into the 7th on Sunday? Because that would mean we've had no hit watches in 2 games in the last, like, 5 days.
I think Michael King made it through 6 innings.
Through 6.
I think he made it through 6.
Okay.
The Sam Levitt brought this up on the post-game show. But in their five-game win streak, the Padres had given up four runs and 14 hits. That's five games.
That's phenomenal.
That's less than three hits a game on average.
And to think that on that Friday after a week
that's
ago,
ridiculous.
When they
you
lost
don't
to the
do
Guardians,
that.
I was like, oh, here we go again.
Oh, they got swamped by the Guardians 7-0 in the first game after the All-Star break. Of course, they gave up. Six of those runs were in the eighth inning. But they beat the Guardians 2-1, 4-0, 12-3, 3-0 over the Nationals. You know, and Waldron, you didn't talk about this game last night, but he gives up a quick three, and then he locks in. I mean, his knuckleball wasn't knuckling in the first inning. Lane Thomas ripped a double. Winker drove him in, and then Yepez homered.
Yep.
Three knuckleballs. Every one of those was a knuckleball that just didn't really do a lot of knuckling. But you know what? Waldron fought right back, and
he's pretty good at that. Because there's been a couple other times this year where he's gotten in trouble early in a game, and you think maybe he's headed for an early exit, but then he locks it down and he goes six.
Well, Padres are locking things down right now. I mean, that's four runs allowed during a five-game win streak. Three of the games have been shutouts, and you know, it's all good for the San Diego Padres as they head to Baltimore. And you know, when the Padres get to the postseason. And as I said, I think they're going to be there. By hook or by crook, they're going to be there. They're going to have to send a little playoff share money to the Nationals because, I mean, this dominance of them this year has been memorable.
Let me ask you this, Chris. You were talking about on Tuesday before the game about how you want to see a player get plunked. There were no fireworks in this series at all, but they did end up going on to win every game against them this season. Is that the ultimate... Like, we got you.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Were you unhappy that they didn't try to take a plunk?
I wasn't anyone? Really thinking about it. You know?
Were on Tuesday before the game. You practically wanted to hit everyone in the roster.
I thought about it through Kiebert Ruiz's first at bat on Tuesday, and then I was like, all right, they're not doing anything, and, you know, just keep playing great baseball. And the Padres are doing that. All right, so 3-0 was the final today. Cease gets the second no-hitter in Padres history. We are underway. Here's the plan. Tony Gwynn Jr., our visit with him after the no-hit call is coming up next. The bottom of the hour, R.J. Anderson to talk baseball and the trade deadline. 4 o'clock, we'll have some other features in along the way. We'll do a Chris versus the fans. Scraby will tell me a time for that because it's normally at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Today we've got Sean Lewis from San Diego State, their football coach, coming on at 4 o'clock. So, but we're going to be here, Scraby and I, till 5:30. Originally supposed to be here till 5.
Yes.
But we're extending.
We are.
And then Scraby's going to extend even beyond that.
Till 6:30. From 5:30 to 6:30.
All right. So that's what we've got coming up for you. Gwynn and Chris underway. Happy Padres no-hitter day. Dylan Cease does it on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, right now I just feel happy. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It really is. It's almost too good to be true. I don't know how to feel right now.
Feel good. Enjoy it. Enjoy the ride to Baltimore. Dylan Cease with the second no-hitter in Padres history. If you haven't checked in, where you been? 2:21 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Washington, D.C., where Dylan Cease threw that no-hitter today. Padres are now busing to Baltimore, where they'll start a series tomorrow against the Orioles. Matt Scraby's alongside here. In the Odyssey Palace Studios, the victory, 3-0 over the Nationals. They got the three runs in kind of a weird way.
Extremely weird way.
Right? Top of the first inning, Patrick Corbin started for the Nationals. Walked two, gave up a hit in there. Bases were loaded, two outs. And Ha-Seong Kim came up, and then it started pouring. Well, it actually started pouring maybe a little before that. He walked, I think it was Bogarts, before Kim came up. And you could tell he couldn't get a grip on the ball. And then he threw the first pitch to Kim, and that was a ball. And he looked, turned around, and he's like, what's going on here?
And he was mad because they started the game?
I think he was mad because they didn't stop it. And he was trying to throw pitches in the rain. And then when they did stop it, I think he was mad that
they
didn't let him finish the inning. So he was mad, I think, on both sides. But after an hour and 16-minute delay, Ha-Seong Kim came up. Matt Scraby tweeted out that all three runners should have to stand on their bases during the rain delay.
No, I said that.
You are such a weird guy.
I said in my weird brain, I just imagine them having to stay in place.
No, they couldn't leave the bases or they could get tagged out.
Yeah. That's the rules of the game, Chris.
Rules of the game. You have to stay on base even during a rain.
I really didn't get it because I was walking lucky. Yeah. On my phone, it said, hey, game started. And mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I'll check it when I get back. And then I get back, and it's in a rain delay. What the heck happened?
It started, bases loaded, two outs. So after an hour and 16 minutes, Corbin went back out. Kim came up, and the count was 1-0. And give Kim a lot of credit because he fouled off some tough pitches there with a 3-2 count. And then, with the runners going, and that was the key to the whole play, was that Cronenworth was at first base, got a running start on the 3-2 pitch. Kim really hit the ball off the end of the bat. He didn't hit it hard. But James Wood, the rookie, that the Padres so stupidly gave up, to the Nationals, dove for a ball he had no chance of getting to. And by diving, he let the ball get past him. Cronenworth was going to be fine stopping at third base, but as soon as he saw Wood dive and miss the ball, that allowed Jake to come all the way around. It turned into a three-run double for Ha-Seong Kim. But it's a, to me, it's a misplay by, you know, James Wood trying to make something happen when it wasn't there. But those were the only three runs of the game. Padres really didn't do much the rest of the way. Didn't need to, as Dylan Cease walked three, struck out nine in his 114-pitch gem today. Most important of all, with the victory, the Padres slide back into a wild card position. They came into the game percentage points behind the Cardinals for the third and final wild card spot. They now own that spot a half game ahead of St. Louis in the National League. And the other part is, I mean, look, they're tied with the Mets. The Padres are. They're now only a game and a half behind the Braves.
Yeah, the,
I mean,
Braves
have really come back to the pack. So,
which we expected.
It is all wide open right now in the National League.
The National League West, I think, is going to get very interesting here in the last 2 months, because you got the Giants now with a couple good starts from Blake Snell. Then you got Robbie Ray last night doing his no-hit thing through, I think, six or seven?
Five innings.
Oh, five
innings. He
not as impressive as Dylan Cease.
Not as impressive, but it was his first start of the season.
And that is impressive.
So Robbie Ray was helping the Giants win that one last night in L.A. Clayton Kershaw, by the way, is back on the mound for the Dodgers today, and they're leading the Giants 3-2 in the top of the fifth inning. After the game, we caught up with Tony before he got on the bus to go to Baltimore. Wanted to get my partner's thoughts on today's history-making performance. And, of course, we couldn't let the day go by without getting some thoughts from my partner, Tony Gwynn Jr., about the no-hitter thrown by Dylan Cease today. And first thing I thought of, Tony, was you got to be there this time. You and Jesse had to call the last no-hitter sitting in an empty press box at Petco Park.
Yeah, that was certainly a little bit different setting this time, not looking at it through a TV screen, being there live and in person. And that was pretty special. I mean, Dylan had it going today, as he has the last couple of starts. Had a little better luck. I mean, I think the last two starts, they got hits pretty early, so it kind of threw cold water on the whole idea of a no-hitter, but that was not the case today. Some luck, terrific play by Jackson, a stay-with-it play by Bogey, and the rest, as they say, is history.
You know, Tony, you've been around the game, you know, as long as anyone, and this is the 306th no-hitter in baseball history, but I don't know what it is. It's always exciting, even if it happens like in a Toronto-Detroit game. People get excited about tuning in and watching a no-hitter. When it happens for the team you follow, it's extra special, and you know, I don't know what it is. A no-hitter gets everybody going.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty exciting 24 hours, right? I mean, we'll get to celebrate this. The weird thing about baseball is that there's another game tomorrow, and you're forced to kind of turn the page. These guys will have to do the same thing, especially going into a place like Baltimore where, you know, those guys were on the verge of getting swept. I don't know if that game ended up going their way or not today. So, you know, they're going to have their hands full, but for this 24-hour period, all that's going to be talked about is Dylan Cease and his Padres franchise, and rightfully so. I mean, he was really brilliant today, and it wasn't brilliant in the way that he normally is, where he's, you know, canned double-digit guys. I know he had nine, but this was a much more efficient day of work for Dylan Cease.
Were you surprised they left him in after the seventh inning?
No, I wasn't. I mean, he had 80. I think 86 pitches at the time, and you know, he was efficient enough to where, and he's one of the guys that goes longer. You know, 113 I think is his max. When you get into that area, I think coaches feel comfortable, and he was the right guy at the right time.
Tony is in D.C. with the Padres on their way to Baltimore, but checking in with us after the Dylan Cease no hitter today. And Tony, just tell us a little bit about your dealings with Dylan Cease. I don't know how often you've spent with him, but we had him on our show. Just seems like a really quiet, reserved guy. He didn't get too excited. He didn't seem too excited in his post-game interviews, but maybe it takes a calm heartbeat to finish off one of these things.
I haven't spent a ton of time with him. I mean, Dylan is kind of off with the pitchers and kind of in that mode a lot of times. So I don't get to spend a lot of time with him. But I do get to watch him pitch every fifth day. And when he's got that kind of stuff, I mean, that is in the realm of possibilities every time he steps on the mound and he has that kind of stuff. To have a no-hitter in general, you need some luck. He got that luck today. Merrill being in the right place at the right time, Bogey staying with that play, Ruiz not really running the hardest out of the box. Those are the kind of luck things you need to go your way. And when you got a little luck and you're as good as Dylan Cease, this type of magic can happen.
And so it did for Dylan Cease today. Becomes the first pitcher in the modern era to throw three consecutive starts with six or more innings and one or fewer hits allowed. First guy ever. That includes Nolan Ryan. That includes Johnny Vandermeer, whose name always comes up at times like this. Do you know why his name always comes up at times like this?
The question hit me, but I was like, I'm not going down that road.
You're not
going
to try.
Until you asked me, but I guess because he out of these situations.
Johnny Vandermeer is the only pitcher ever to throw back-to-back no-hitters.
I did kind of sort of know that.
Yeah, most people are kind of... His name pops up, especially if Cease can go four or five innings in his next start. Then you start thinking about it, but no one's ever... Never one's ever had the back-to-back no-hitters except for Vandermeer. He did it in 1938. I was there at both games.
So at the height of athletic ability, 1938.
Well, one of the things about Vandermeer's, one of the two no-hitters, I think, was the first night game ever played at, like, Ebbets Field. Like, I don't think anybody could see the ball. Like, there was some extenuating circumstances to it. But, yeah, Johnny Vandermeer, he was the guy who threw back-to-back no-hitters. He's the only guy to do it. Cease will get his opportunity sometime next week when the Padres come home.
Yes.
I'd imagine, I haven't looked. I guess I should since, you know, we are the Padres flagship. I should know this stuff.
To see if he lines up.
But, yeah, Dodgers are coming in next week. Cease, let's see,
Friday, Saturday,
yeah,
Sunday.
Got him in Wednesday.
Yep.
Against Tyler Glasnow.
So that would be a fun one.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Go ahead.
I was going to say they already did that this year, but that was Michael King and Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, it'll be... actually, the Padres don't know who's going to start tomorrow. You want to pitch in Baltimore?
Oh, actually, we do know.
Oh, we do?
Dennis Lynn tweeted this to me. This is one of the things I've been passed along.
Okay.
Let me pull it back up. It's Adam Mazur.
It is
Adam Mazur.
They're giving him another shot.
Here we go. Adam Mazur will start tomorrow for the Padres. Michael King and Randy Vasquez are scheduled to start over the weekend. That's true. Dennis Lynn.
Now, King is going Saturday, Vasquez Sunday. The fact that Adam Mazur is starting tomorrow night in Baltimore is not going to engender a lot of confidence out there, I must say. But I guess they think he's the best option they have.
Yeah, they're not going to just throw him out there because
he's there.
Well,
that's what we've been saying, you know, but they keep putting him out there and it's not working for him. So maybe tomorrow he can get it together. But in the meantime, the Padres celebrate Dylan Cease's no-hitter. We take a break. 3-0 over Washington today. When we return, RJ Anderson from CBS Sports joins us. The baseball trade deadline is less than 5 days away. What is the latest? We'll find out next on 97.3 The Fan. That my guy Sammy Levitt and I, me and Sam, were the only two guys on planet Earth who have done a Padres postgame show on the radio following a no-hitter. That's right, Sam, you and I were the only ones. Sam Levitt tied me today in postgame no-hitters. Yeah, I was on the assignment the night of Joe Musgrove's no-hitter in 2021. Today, Sam Levitt took us through a post-game show following Dylan Cease, his no-hitter today in Washington as the Padres shut down the Nationals 3-0 and win their fifth in a row. And Dylan Cease will celebrate his no-hitter a little bit more as we go along here this afternoon. But right now, we are really excited to be joined by RJ Anderson from CBS Sports, great baseball writer. And trade deadline, you know, that doesn't slow down because the Padres pitched a no-hitter today. Still coming up on Tuesday. RJ, how are you today? What's new?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, you know, everyone's pretty excited here, obviously, today after the exploits of Mr. Cease. And, you know, it's interesting. As it stands right now, RJ, there's still really only been two major trades in baseball this season, right? The Padres got Luis Arraez, and the Padres got Dylan Cease.
Yeah, so that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because everybody always waits till the trade deadline. AJ Preller didn't wait, and he's gotten, you know, he's got pretty good results out of those two deals so far, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and remember that there were rumors trying to get Garrett Crochet earlier in the summer as well. Now, obviously that didn't happen, but it would have been his third deal. And, you know, I think there's something to being the first mover. We've seen it with the Atlanta Braves and Alex Anthopoulos time and time again, where he's always seemingly the first person to make a transaction during the offseason. And, you know, if you're confident in your evaluation and you're confident in your negotiating abilities and confident in your team, you know, sometimes it's worthwhile beating everyone else to the punch.
RJ, is this, I mean, we're 5 days away from the trade deadline history. Does this tell us this, is pretty normal that right now everything's still a rumor, everybody's still kind of positioning? Or when would you say the trigger normally starts getting pulled?
Yeah, I think this year is going to be later than normal just because of the state of the wild card races. I mean, last I checked, I think there's only 8 teams in all of baseball that were more than 5 games away from a playoff spot. And when you have that kind of congestion, you know, it's going to be a seller's market. And that means the sellers have every incentive to wait until we're in those final 72 hours before they really get serious about making a deal, you know, unless someone really overplays their hand and overpays. So I don't think this is going to, you know, stack up the historical average. I think it's kind of an unprecedented year in a sense, or at least a rare year. And I think we're probably still, you know, hours away from things really getting going.
Talking to RJ Anderson here of CBS Sports and the trade deadline. You already mentioned Garrett Crochet, and that's who I was going to ask about because I know he's been linked to the Padres for quite some time. We've been watching how they've been handling his innings, and I'm not sure how teams are going to use them. So my question to you is, if they go after Garrett Crochet, the Padres, would you think it was more for a this-year move, or is it going to be for the team control that his contract has? What kind of pitcher is the team that trades for Garrett Crochet going to get?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and it has nothing to do with his talent level. It has everything to do with his health. Remember, you know, the concern about him when they moved him to the rotation this spring was the fact that, you know, he's barely pitched, even as a reliever. He's just barely pitched because he's been injured time and again. So I think if you're acquiring Crochet, normally I would say, you know, it's about this year plus the next few years. But in this case, I think you may have to put more onus on this year because you don't know what comes next. You know, I don't know how his body is going to hold up. I don't have access to his medicals. You know, that's something the teams will have and they can make that determination. But I do think that maybe his years of control turn out to be a little bit of an illusion. And, you know, that's often the case with pitchers. So I don't think that should be shocking to anyone, but he might be an extreme case of it.
RJ, of course, we're all looking at the Padres and their angle here, but I'm just curious, as we look around baseball, there's two teams that jump out at me that might be the most, I don't want to say desperate, but the most in need of making a move right now. One is the Red Sox, who have slumped here a little bit and fallen behind the Royals in the wild card chase. But the other, for sure, seems to be the Braves. All of the injuries that they've had. Now, the year they won the World Series, they traded for a whole new outfield right at the trade deadline, and they end up winning the whole championship. Is there a shot Atlanta can pull off something like this again? How desperate are the Braves at this point to save their fading playoff hopes?
Yeah, I mean, those are great questions because when you look at that roster, it doesn't seem like there are any easy answers right now between injuries, underperformance. I mean, Matt Olson and some of these other players who, you know, we know are all-star caliber players are just having miserable years, 100-plus games into the season. So I do think Anthopoulos is going to make moves. I think it would make sense, frankly, for him to shop at the top of the market, too, if he can, because you know, what about him with Crochet? What about him with Tarik Skubal? What about him with Luis Robert Jr.? You know, you could slot them into that lineup and have it make sense for the rest of this season and seasons heading forward, especially with the uncertainty about what the future holds for Max Fried and Charlie Morton in Atlanta. So, yeah, I think the Braves have to do something. I think it would be a shame if they left this opportunity in this season fall by the wayside, even though they're going without Acuna and they're doing it without Spencer Strider the rest of the way.
Talking to RJ Anderson, CBS Sports here, and the Padres, I personally don't think they need to make some huge big splash with a trade. They just need to get a guy that can come in and do the job and fill a need that they have. Do you think that they are going to be a team that we're all talking about, or are they just going to kind of ride under the radar a little bit and make the trades here and there?
Yeah, so I mean, with AJ Preller, you never want to bet against them finding a way to make a splash, right?
Smart answer, RJ.
I'm a little hesitant to say, oh, yeah, they're going to fly underneath the radar. But I guess my concern is not whether there is a desire to go out there and make something happen at the top of the market, but whether there's actually a pathway there, because their farm system is in a depleted state. You know, a lot of their top prospects are either really young or they're having down years or a combination thereof, and I think that's going to limit his ability to go out there and get a Skubal or get a Crochet or, you know, whomever you want to talk about at the very top of the market. That said, I'm sure he's going to do something. You know, it's AJ Preller. Like, you know, that's just one of those general managers you count on doing something over the final 72 hours, even if it's not necessarily, you know, his biggest move or one of the biggest moves he's made at a deadline.
One of the names that I'm intrigued by, RJ, for the Padres is the left-hander Tyler Anderson, who's now with the Angels and has pitched in this division with the Dodgers and the Rockies and has made two all-star teams in the last 3 years. Are you hearing anything on the Angels' willingness to perhaps move him, and what kind of situation would the Padres be getting if they could acquire somebody like him?
Yeah, I think if you're the Angels, you have to definitely listen on him. I mean, I know I was told, gosh, I guess it was 6 to 8 weeks ago now, that the Angels were starting to listen to offers on players, and, you know, that included relievers, that included Jose Soriano, that presumably included Anderson, although I didn't hear him by name. The thing is, and, you know, he has a really shiny ERA, and you're right, that he's got a track record of being a solid big league starter. But the thing is, he's kind of having a weird season, because if you look at his strikeout rate, and you look at his walk rate, and you look at some of those underlying metrics, it's not really as pretty as you would think based on the ERA. So I don't know exactly what to make of that. You know, he's still a contact manager, and again, the track record says he's going to continue to be a solid big league starting pitcher, but I think that there's actually more risk with his profile than you would think. And I don't know that he would be a top of my target list if I'm San Diego, just because I wonder if you can find a little bit more of a sure thing, even if they don't necessarily have, you know, a ton of upside or whatever. But yeah, I have a lot of questions about Anderson. I'm not quite sure how that's going to unfold for him over the rest of the year and heading forward.
Talking to RJ Anderson about Major League Baseball trades, the trade deadline coming up next week. He works for CBS Sports. And I was going to ask you about one player, because I've seen this name pop up more and more. But now that Xander Bogaerts is back, Donovan Solano doesn't really have a consistent role with the team. And he's been good, and he continues to be good. And it's been floated around here in town, could they trade Donovan Solano to kind of take the pressure off of so many infielders? Do you think that's something that they could do? Or is Donovan Solano not really a guy you want to trade or wouldn't get a strong offer?
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that he's not someone who's going to bring back enough to justify moving him. You know, nothing against Donovan Solano.
Yeah.
I thought he should have been on a big league roster opening day. You know, like I like Donovan Solano for what he is, but we're talking about, you know, a right-handed hitter who's not really skilled defensively, and, you know, you're probably not going to play him on the left side of the infield too often, at least some of these clubs. So I think that he probably has limited trade value, and I would have a hard time with seeing any other team giving up real value for him at this point.
How about Ha-Seong Kim? What does his name sound like? I know you're going to – I'm going to just kind of generally jump on your thing. Ha-Seong Kim, 225 batting average.
Yeah.
You know, some occasional power, gold glove defense, but also a free agent at the end of the year. To me, it seems like there's just no way somebody's going to offer you a decent return for somebody who's a rental hitting 225. But then again, the Orioles just lost their shortstop, Mateo. So, anyway, The question is, is there any chance Ha-Seong Kim draws any interest?
Oh, I think he would draw interest. I think you would be surprised because, you know, the reality of it is if you can play shortstop as well as Ha-Seong Kim can, you're not going to want for opportunities, right? Like, someone's always going to want you in their lineup. And, you know, if you look at some of his park adjusted stats, it's not as bad as that batting average looks. I know it's an ugly, unflattering batting average, but if you look at some of the park adjusted metrics, he's not as bad offensively as you would think. So I think that he would be in demand if they were to make him available. But I would have a tough time actually foreseeing the Padres trading him at this point. I could be wrong about that. I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened over the winter.
I would agree with that. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports, here with us. Real quick, last question. I read this morning. Blake Snell is pitching well now with the Giants, but his contract is not very Giant friendly, and some people are trying to move him too. Is there a chance that he would be on the move?
I think not, because you know the Giants are just now getting to full strength, or as close to full strength as they're going to get. And I think they probably envision themselves, you know, being in that NL wild card race down to the end. And Snell, yeah, he struggled. I wonder how much that, you know, truncated spring training hurt him. But I think they envision him being a big part of that down the run. So down the road, excuse me. So I would be surprised if he moves as well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Just browsing the CBS Sports website, and if you're into this trade deadline, get over there and look at some of these RJ Anderson articles. I could keep you on all day, RJ, asking about all the things you've written about and all the information you've put out there for fans to read. So we appreciate you taking a little time out to visit with us here in San Diego, and look forward to catching up to you again down the road, and invite everybody to check out some of RJ Anderson's stuff on CBS Sports. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha, sir. RJ Anderson there from CBS Sports. And today he wrote a lot about Luis Robert Jr.
Ooh.
And the likelihood of somebody acquiring him. Guess who he has as the number one possibility?
Dodgers?
Yeah.
I just knew it.
It's always the Dodgers, isn't it?
I just knew it.
It's really funny. He writes here, people get tired of seeing the Dodgers always ranked atop these lists. We get it. But unfortunately, what can we do? They have the prospects, and they have the money.
Do they, though?
I guess I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do, too.
I mean, James Outman has been a disaster this year in center field. I think he just got recalled because an injury to Chris Taylor, but they've had a hole right in the middle of their outfield, and the Dodgers, you know, they're going to spend the money and get somebody, and I would think that Luis Robert probably will be a Dodger before it's all said and done.
You know where a lot of their money is tied up on the bench, Chris? Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Not getting much out of him.
No.
Not getting much out of him.
And then you got all the other guys, but that $325 million contract is expensive at this point.
I'm certainly not here to pick on the Asian players.
Okay. I'm not either. Why?
Well, what I'm saying is you got Yamamoto there. That has not worked out.
Oh, I see.
I don't believe Matsui has worked out for the kind of money that he's been given by the Padres. I think, you know, Ha-Seong Kim's been okay. Everybody knows he's not my all-time favorite. He did drive in all three runs today, so let's give Ha-Seong a day off, you know, in the criticism department. But, you know, there's a little more risk with those guys than I think teams are willing to, you know, talk about. I mean, because you're right. You give Yamamoto, what, $325 million? And this guy, now he's been hurt. But even when he wasn't hurt, he wasn't dominating anyone.
He was getting there.
He was getting by, but he wasn't great. And he's a three-time MVP in the Japanese leagues 3 years in a row. So that's their best player, clearly. Like, he's, you know, the Shohei Ohtani of the Japanese league.
Yeah.
Ohtani's in another world, of course. But Yamamoto has not been able to come over here and dominate. Now, maybe that'll change. Maybe in September he'll start mowing him down when he gets back to health. But, you know, I don't know.
I understand why you pay pitching big money, starting pitching big money, but I don't understand. I know why, but it would be really hard for me to sign a pitcher because they're it seems like pitchers take, you know, get injured. They, especially high,
in this day and
high
age,
heat throwing pitchers.
In this day and age, they certainly get injured.
And it's always tricep tendonitis.
No, it isn't. Sometimes they just blow out their arm altogether.
Well, that, yeah. When, yes. Okay. Good point, Chris.
Yeah.
Good point.
And right, you can there. Put together an unbelievable team of pitchers that aren't pitching.
Oh, yeah.
An unbelievable team.
So, yes, you can.
I mean, Spencer Strider's right at the top of that list.
And he was lost, like, first couple weeks of the season, right?
About a weekend.
A week. Okay.
I think he made one start, maybe two. He might have got two.
I mean, I feel bad for those guys because they don't want to get injured. But...
how about feeling bad for the people who owned him in fantasy baseball, like me? How about feeling bad for those
definitely
people?
Definitely don't feel bad for those people.
I know you don't.
If he was on my team, I would be commiserating with everyone.
Dylan Cease pitched a no-hitter today, in case you were wondering. Padres shut out the Nationals 3-0 as history was made in the District of Columbia. More on that. More Gwen and Chris ahead.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That my guy Sammy Levitt and I, me and Sam, were the only two guys on planet Earth who have done a Padres postgame show on the radio following a no-hitter. That's right, Sam, you and I, we're the only ones. Sam Levitt tied me today in postgame no-hitters. Yeah, I was on the assignment the night of Joe Musgrove's no-hitter in 2021. Today, Sam Levitt took us through a postgame show following Dylan Cease, his no-hitter today in Washington, as the Padres shut down the Nationals 3-0 and win their fifth in a row. And Dylan Cease will celebrate his no-hitter a little bit more as we go along here this afternoon. But right now, we are really excited to be joined by R.J. Anderson from CBS Sports, great baseball writer, and trade deadline. You know, that doesn't slow down because the Padres pitched a no-hitter today. Still coming up on Tuesday. R.J., how are you today? What's new?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, you know, everyone's pretty excited here, obviously, today after the exploits of Mr. Cease. And, you know, it's interesting. As it stands right now, RJ, there's still really only been two major trades in baseball this season, right? The Padres got Luis Arraez, and the Padres got Dylan Cease.
Yeah, so that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because everybody always waits till the trade deadline. AJ Preller didn't wait, and he's gotten, you know, he's got pretty good results out of those two deals so far, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and remember that there were rumors trying to get Garrett Crochet earlier in the summer as well. Now, obviously that didn't happen, but it would have been his third deal. And, you know, I think there's something to being the first mover. We've seen it with the Atlanta Braves and Alex Anthopoulos time and time again, where he's always seemingly the first person to make a transaction during the offseason. And, you know, if you're confident in your evaluation, and you're confident in your negotiating abilities and confident in your team, you know, sometimes it's worthwhile beating everyone else to the punch.
RJ, is this, I mean, we're 5 days away from the trade deadline history. Does this tell us this, is pretty normal that right now everything's still a rumor, everybody's still kind of positioning? Or when would you say the trigger normally starts getting pulled?
Yeah, I think this year is going to be later than normal just because of the state of the wild card races. I mean, last I checked, I think there's only 8 teams in all of baseball that were more than 5 games away from a playoff spot. And when you have that kind of congestion, you know, it's going to be a seller's market. And that means the sellers have every incentive to wait until we're in those final 72 hours before they really get serious about making a deal, you know, unless someone really overplays their hand and overpays. So I don't think this is going to, you know, stack up the historical average. I think it's kind of an unprecedented year in a sense, or at least a rare year. And I think we're probably still, you know, hours away from things really getting going.
Talking to RJ Anderson here of CBS Sports and the trade deadline. You already mentioned Garrett Crochet, and that's who I was going to ask about because I know he's been linked to the Padres for quite some time. We've been watching how they've been handling his innings, and I'm not sure how teams are going to use them. So my question to you is, if they go after Garrett Crochet, the Padres, would you think it was more for a this year move, or was it? Is it going to be for the team control that his contract has? What kind of pitcher is the team that trades for Garrett Crochet going to get?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and it has nothing to do with his talent level. It has everything to do with his health. Remember, you know, the concern about him when they moved him to the rotation this spring was the fact that, you know, he's barely pitched, even as a reliever. He's just barely pitched because he's been injured time and again. So I think if you're acquiring Crochet, normally I would say, you know, it's about this year plus the next few years. But in this case, I think you may have to put more onus on this year because you don't know what comes next. You know, I don't know how his body's going to hold up. I don't have access to his medicals. You know, that's something the teams will have, and they can make that determination. But I do think that maybe his years of control turn out to be a little bit of an illusion. And, you know, that's often the case with pitchers. So I don't think that should be shocking to anyone, but he might be an extreme case of it.
RJ, of course, we're all looking at the Padres and their angle here, but I'm just curious, as we look around baseball, there's two teams that jump out at me that might be the most, I don't want to say desperate, but the most in need of making a move right now. One is the Red Sox, who have slumped here a little bit and fallen behind the Royals in the wild card chase. But the other, for sure, seems to be the Braves. All of the injuries that they've had. Now, the year they won the World Series, they traded for a whole new outfield right at the trade deadline, and they end up winning the whole championship. Is there a shot Atlanta can pull off something like this again? How desperate are the Braves at this point to save their fading playoff hopes?
Yeah, I mean, those are great questions, because when you look at that roster, it doesn't seem like there are any easy answers right now between injuries, underperformance. I mean, Matt Olson and some of these other players who, you know, we know are all-star caliber players are just having miserable years, 100-plus games into the season. So I do think Anthopoulos is going to make moves. I think it would make sense, frankly, for him to shop at the top of the market, too, if he can, because, you know, what about him with Crochet? What about him with Tarek Skubal? What about him with Luis Robert Jr.? You know, you could slot them into that lineup and have it make sense for the rest of this season and seasons heading forward, especially with the uncertainty about what the future holds for Max Fried and Charlie Morton in Atlanta. So, yeah, I think the Braves have to do something. I think it would be a shame if they left this opportunity in this season fall by the wayside, even though they're going without Acuna and doing it without Spencer Strider the rest of the way.
Talking to RJ Anderson, CBS Sports here, and the Padres, I personally don't think they need to make some huge, big splash with a trade. They just need to get a guy that can come in and do the job and fill a need that they have. Do you think that they are going to be a team that we're all talking about, or are they just going to kind of ride under the radar a little bit and make the trades here and there?
Yeah, so, I mean, with AJ Preller, you never want to bet against them finding a way to make a splash, right?
Smart answer, RJ.
I'm a little hesitant to say, oh, yeah, they're going to fly underneath the radar. But I guess my concern is not whether there is a desire to go out there and make something happen at the top of the market, but whether there's actually a pathway there, because their farm system is in a depleted state. You know, a lot of their top prospects are either really young or they're having down years or a combination thereof, and I think that's going to limit his ability to go out there and get a Scoob or get a Crochet or, you know, whomever you want to talk about at the very top of the market. That said, I'm sure he's going to do something. You know, it's AJ Preller. Like, you know, that's just one of those general managers you count on doing something over the final 72 hours, even if it's not necessarily, you know, his biggest move or one of the biggest moves he's made at a deadline.
One of the names that I'm intrigued by, RJ, for the Padres is the left-hander Tyler Anderson, who's now with the Angels and has pitched in this division with the Dodgers and the Rockies and has made two all-star teams in the last 3 years. Are you hearing anything on the Angels' willingness to perhaps move him, and what kind of situation would the Padres be getting if they could acquire somebody like him?
Yeah, I think if you're the Angels, you have to definitely listen on him. I mean, I know I was told, gosh, I guess it was 6 to 8 weeks ago now, that the Angels were starting to listen to offers on players, and, you know, that included relievers, that included Jose Soriano, that presumably included Anderson, although I didn't hear him by name. The thing is, and, you know, he has a really shiny ERA, and you're right, that he's got a track record of being a solid big league starter. But the thing is, he's kind of having a weird season, because if you look at his strikeout rate, and you look at his walk rate, and you look at some of those underlying metrics, it's not really as pretty as you would think based on the ERA. So I don't know exactly what to make of that. You know, he's still a contact manager, and again, the track record says he's going to continue to be a solid big league starting pitcher, but I think that there's actually more risk with his profile than you would think. And I don't know that he would be a top of my target list if I'm San Diego, just because I wonder if you can find a little bit more of a sure thing, even if they don't necessarily have, you know, a ton of upside or whatever. But yeah, I have a lot of questions about Anderson, and I'm not quite sure how that's going to unfold for him over the rest of the year and heading forward.
Talking to RJ Anderson about Major League Baseball trades, the trade deadline coming up next week. He works for CBS Sports. And I was going to ask you about one player, because I've seen this name pop up more and more. But now that Xander Bogaerts is back, Donovan Solano doesn't really have a consistent role with the team. And he's been good, and he continues to be good. And it's been floated around here in town, could they trade Donovan Solano to kind of take the pressure off of so many infielders? Do you think that's something that they could do? Or is Donovan Solano not really a guy you want to trade or wouldn't get a strong offer?
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that he's not someone who's going to bring back enough to justify moving him. You know, nothing against Donovan Solano.
Yeah.
I thought he should have been on a big league roster opening day. You know, like I like Donovan Solano for what he is, but we're talking about, you know, a right-handed hitter who's not really skilled defensively, and, you know, you're probably not going to play him on the left side of the infield too often. At least some of these clubs. So I think that he probably has limited trade value, and I would have a hard time seeing any other team giving up real value for him at this point.
How about Ha-Sung Kim? What does his name sound like? I know you're going to – I'm going to just kind of generally jump on your thing. Ha-Sung Kim, 225 batting average.
Yeah.
You know, some occasional power, gold glove defense, but also a free agent at the end of the year. To me, it seems like there's just no way somebody's going to offer you a decent return for somebody who's a rental hitting 225. But then again, the Orioles just lost their shortstop. Mateo. So, anyway, the question is: is there any chance Ha-Sung Kim draws any interest?
Oh, I think he would draw interest. I think you would be surprised because, you know, the reality of it is, if you can play shortstop as well as Ha-Sung Kim can, you're not going to want for opportunities, right? Like, someone's always going to want you in their lineup. And, you know, if you look at some of his park adjusted stats, it's not as bad as that batting average looks. I know it's an ugly, unflattering batting average, but if you look at some of the other, park adjusted metrics, he's not as bad offensively as you would think. So I think that he would be in demand if they were to make him available. But I would have a tough time actually foreseeing the Padres trading him at this point. I could be wrong about that. I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened over the winter.
I would agree with that. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports, here with us. Real quick, last question. I read this morning. Blake Snell is pitching well now with the Giants, but his contract is not very Giant-friendly, and some people are trying to move him, too. Is there a chance that he would be on the move?
I think not, because, you know, the Giants are just now getting the full strength, or as close to full strength as they're going to get, and I think they probably envision themselves, you know, being in that NL wildcard race down to the end, and Snell... Yeah, he struggled. I wonder how much that, you know, truncated spring training hurt him. But I think they envision him being a big part of that down the run. So down the road, excuse me. So I would be surprised if he moves as well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just browsing the CBS Sports website, and if you're into this trade deadline, get over there and look at some of these RJ Anderson articles. I could keep you on all day, RJ, asking about all the things you've written about and all the information you've put out there for fans to read. So we appreciate you taking a little time out to visit with us here in San Diego, and look forward to catching up to you again down the road, and invite everybody to check out some of RJ Anderson's stuff on CBS Sports. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha, sir. RJ Anderson there from CBS Sports. And today he wrote a lot about Luis Robert Jr.
Ooh.
And the likelihood of somebody acquiring him. Guess who he has as the number one possibility?
Dodgers?
Yeah.
I just knew it.
It's always the Dodgers, isn't it?
I just knew it.
It's really funny. He writes here, people get tired of seeing the Dodgers always ranked atop these lists. We get it. But unfortunately, what can we do? They have the prospects and they have the money.
Do they, though? I guess
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they usually do. I'm sure they do, too.
I mean, James Outman has been a disaster this year in center field. I think he just got recalled because of an injury to Chris Taylor, but they've had a hole right in the middle of their outfield, and the Dodgers, you know, they're going to spend the money and get somebody, and I would think that Luis Robert probably will be a Dodger before it's all said and done.
You know where a lot of their money is tied up on the bench, Chris? Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Not getting much out of him.
No.
Not getting much out of him.
And then you got all the other guys, but that $325 million contract is expensive at this point.
I'm certainly not here to pick on the Asian players.
I'm not either. Why?
What I'm saying is you got Yamamoto there. That has not worked out.
Oh, I see.
I don't believe Matsui has worked out for the kind of money that he's been given by the Padres. I think, you know, Ha-Sung Kim's been okay. Everybody knows he's not my all-time favorite. He did drive in all three runs today, so let's give Ha-Sung a day off, in the criticism department. But, you know, there's a little more risk with those guys than I think teams are willing to, talk about. I mean, because you're right. You give Yamamoto, $325 million? And this guy, now he's been hurt. But even when he wasn't hurt, he wasn't dominating anyone.
He was getting there.
He was getting by, but he wasn't great. And he's a three-time MVP in the Japanese leagues 3 years in a row. So their best player, clearly. Like, he's, you know, the Shohei Ohtani of the Japanese league.
Yeah.
Ohtani's in another world, of course. But Yamamoto has not been able to come over here and dominate. Now, maybe that'll change. Maybe in September he'll start mowing him down when he gets back to health. But, you know, I don't know.
I understand why you pay pitching big money, starting pitching big money, but I don't understand. I know why, but it would be really hard for me to sign a pitcher because it seems like pitchers get injured. They, especially high heat throwing pitchers.
In this day and age, they certainly get injured.
And it's always tricep tendonitis.
No, it isn't. Sometimes they just blow out their arm altogether.
Well, that, yeah. Okay. Good point, Chris. Yeah. Good point.
And right you can there. Put together an unbelievable team of pitchers that aren't pitching.
Oh, yeah.
An unbelievable team.
So, yes, you can.
I mean, Spencer Strider's right at the top of that list.
And he was lost, first couple weeks of the season, right?
About a weekend.
A week. Okay.
I think he made one start, maybe two. He might have got two.
I mean, I feel bad for those guys because they don't want to get injured.
How about feeling bad for the people who owned him in fantasy baseball, like me? How about feeling bad for those
people? Definitely don't feel bad for those people.
I know you don't.
If he was on my team, I would be commiserating with everyone.
Dylan Cease pitched a no-hitter today, in case you were wondering. Padres shut out the Nationals 3-0 as history was made in the District of Columbia. More on that. More Gwen and Chris ahead.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive.
It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.